Blog Talk Radio.
Say, yes, you're
awesome.
We declare that you're
awesome.
Yes, you are.
Yes, my God is awesome. Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alethea Smith-Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. What a joy it is for me to be with you this evening. I have been off the air for several weeks, and I just want to say just a little bit about being off the air. But you know, when you're off the air, you're not out of contact. You're not out of connection with God and with the people of God. I had a particular mission that God called me to, and that is because my husband, Charles Withers, was diagnosed with cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. It is a kind of cancer that is very, very rare, and many of you may have heard of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, often referred to as CTCL, and it is a cancer that for many people is a result of being exposed to Agent Orange, which is a carcinogen, and it is a defoliant that was used in Vietnam. Can you imagine having served this country in Vietnam and to be impacted by cancer resulting from that service more than 30 years later? For many, more than 40 years later. And so I was really supporting my husband over the past week with that, and thankfully it is a rare cancer, and it's not a cancer that progresses, so thanks to the prayers and the wonderful medical attention he's had over the past weeks, he is doing fine. There are a few things still ahead of him, so keep Charles Withers in your prayers. Keep all of the men and women who were exposed to Agent Orange and are not aware of the impact of that exposure. Keep them in your prayers. We're going to do some shows about Vietnam vets and other veterans who are being challenged by many of the impacts of war and being exposed to elements they're not even aware of. But tonight, I want to say it's great to be on the air, and welcome to October. We're in October 13th today, and in many parts of the country, we're already seeing the changes of the season in Washington, D.C. No leaves are falling, or very few leaves are falling, but we do see color beginning to change the color of the leaves. And there's a little chill in the air. And so we know we've entered the season of autumn. Tonight, my guest is Helen Fusaye, founder and executive director of Walk in My Shoes Foundation, Walk in My Shoes Foundation, Foundation in Lafayette, Louisiana area. Lafayette, Louisiana, wow, what a romantic part of the country from my perspective. Walk in My Shoes sounds like a challenge and an invitation. You're going to hear more about that from her in just a few minutes. If you're a first-time listener, a special welcome to you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. Also, you can always listen on demand and easily turn your work time, computer time, or leisure time into an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. So you can download this show after the time that airs live and share it with your friends and you know, really occupy your mind with things that you really want to reflect on, and even send a comment to me. I would love to hear from you during the show or after the show. And I do hear from a lot of people after the show, and certainly thank those of you who sent emails to me or texted me during the time that I wasn't on the air. So I want you to keep it real as I keep it real right here. I keep it real about life. I minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the spirit. This is a show that is a safe place to talk about everything, everything from pop culture to politics. And so now I want to begin at the beginning, at the place that is the beginning for me, the Alpha and Omega sacred connection to the divine. So, beloved, open your heart, open your mind as I pray. God, your word says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God in whom I trust and on whom I rely. Oh, yes, God, provider, you are the rock of my salvation. Hallelujah. My rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my rock in whom I take refuge. Oh, God, you are my stronghold. You lift me up when I've fallen down, and when I have been downtrodden, you stretch out your arm to me. When I have gotten caught in the snares of the evil one, oh God, you have saved me. Thank you, Lord. You've loosed me from my entrapment. You've cut the cords of my confinement. You've released me from my fears, oh God. I confess that I have fears, and I thank you for releasing me from my fears, my doubt, my dismay. You've taken off my blindfold so that I might walk in the light of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today I say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness, for your love, and for your mercy. Thank you for your word, which is like living water to my soul. Now I come praying for my sisters and my brothers who seek your healing, who seek your healing in their body, their mind, their spirit. I come praying for peace in their homes, a peace that passes all understanding. I come praying for financial blessings, blessings that embrace the generosity in their heart. I come praying for vision that enables us all to see the hidden treasures all around us. Help us to choose the right things to say so that we can live in victory, oh God, all the days of our life. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. No matter the barriers on our path, oh God, lead us to the rock that is higher than we. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust and in whom I rely. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. If you are just joining us, welcome. I'm Reverend Alicia, host of the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show. As with every show, we're going to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking tonight. I invite you to join in the dialogue. If you're listening online, you can dial in 347-945-7723, 347-945-7723, or you can write your question on the blog or email me with your comments. And we're just going to have a wonderful dialogue tonight. I'm so looking forward to introducing and hearing from my guest tonight, all the way from Louisiana. Her name is Helen Foussier, and if I didn't pronounce it correctly, she will help me. I love the name in that part because of the French derivation of many of the names. She's the founder and executive director of Walk in My Shoes, Walk in My Shoes Foundation. It is indeed a challenge to all of us and an invitation for our better selves to show up. Helen, welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. Now, Helen, help me pronounce your last name for our listeners tonight.
It's Fuselet.
Fuselet. Helen Fuselet, all the way from Louisiana. And you were born, you've grown up in Louisiana, correct?
That is correct. I was born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana.
And now that's more romantic. All the wonderful books and the music and so much that comes out of Louisiana, of New Orleans, and good cooking. So I would imagine your place is a place that I would want to pull my chair up to the table.
Yeah, lots of good food. Lots of it.
Yeah, lots of good food. Well, I particularly welcome you during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So many of us who have lived through the challenge of breast cancer want to do great things and want to think about others when we come out on the other side. And you've managed to come out on the other side, and you have also been led by a dream, a vision, a passion. And we don't have a long time for Helen to be on the call tonight, but we're going to talk as much as we can. And then right now I'm inviting you to come back and talk more, because when we accomplish something, Helen, we want to share how we've captured our vision. We want to share what we're doing with it. But before we get into how it came about, tell everyone what your foundation does, what your mission of Walk in My Shoes Foundation, what that mission is all about.
Okay. The mission of Walk in My Shoes Foundation is to provide financial and emotional support to patients undergoing cancer treatment. Initially, I wanted to assist patients who had been battling breast cancer because, of course, that's what my battle was. However, after I started the organization, I realized that there were, you know, several millions of other people, you know, battling other forms of cancer that needed assistance as well. So that's why we opened up the assistance not just to patients battling breast cancer, but any form.
Yeah, and there's so many of us. I was trying to get Sabira Falami on the line and was not able to reach out to her to give the phone number. Hopefully she'll get it and call in. But she's one of the breast cancer overcomer who is very candid about sharing the financial challenges that so many people face during and sometimes even after breast cancer. How did this idea come about for you?
Well, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in June of 2004. And one day, while speaking with my disability carrier, going through the bureaucracy of getting a check, I was sitting on the side of the bed, and I said to myself, you know, one day I'm going to help breast cancer patients, that's what I said at the time, to pay their bills while they're undergoing treatment, because the last thing that a person needs is to be stressed out about money when they're trying to fight for their lives. But just as I had that thought, I laughed at myself because I thought, now how are you going to pay somebody else's bills when you can barely pay your own? So I laughed really out loud. And, you know, from that point, I just started doing little things for, you know, you said you've had breast cancer as well. So whenever a person would find out that I've had cancer, they'd say, Helen, would you speak with so-and-so? She's battling and she needs encouragement. So, you know, word got out that I would, you know, speak to folks who needed, you know, just a word. Or if a person needed money, I would go into my pockets. I didn't have much to give. But, you know, I would do little small things, little small acts. But I never thought that it was enough. So I want to say 2010, it was March of 2010, actually, I was in Bible study, and my pastor asked me to assist with raising money for a Relay for Life. And, of course, I said, yes, I would. Well, throughout the years, I had been praying and asking God, you know, to show me what to do because I was not satisfied with just the little that I was doing. So this particular night, I was driving home from Bible study, and I said, God, you know, I've been praying for several years, and I've been asking you to show me what to do. I want to raise money. For some reason, I just had it in my heart that I wanted to pay bills for others. I didn't want to do anything else. I just wanted to help out financially. And just then, in the car, God told me to get people to donate new and gently worn shoes, resell those shoes, and take that money to pay their bills. And to call it Walk in My Shoes, because, of course, I've been in those shoes with them. And you're literally walking in another person's shoes. So, ooh. I mean, I became so afraid in the car. I opened up my eyes and I said, oh, my, God is here. I mean, it blew me away. And then following that experience, I started to tell different people about it. And they would say, oh, I got the chills when I heard that story. It was real. I did not make any of it up. So I started the organization, and we've been in existence now for 5 years. Initially, we were assisting patients in Louisiana, but the word has gotten out, so we've been assisting patients across the United States.
Wow. You know, I did not know that part of the story. That is so powerful. I really want the audience to hear what this simply took for you to acknowledge the vision, the desire in your heart. You know, when we have a desire in our heart, so many times we can accomplish great things. For most of us, literally just blow that little fire out that's in our hearts, and you held it and prayed about it. I want everybody to know that she is a member of Lighthouse Missionary Baptist Church in Louisiana, and we're that faithfulness and the awareness that what might sound like a little thing can grow into a powerful gift and encouragement to others. I'm telling you, just encouraging one other person, but to serve many people can be such an encouragement. And oftentimes, when you've been blessed, you'll bless others. And so I just think that's wonderful. Selling lightly used shoes, really, and when you give a gift to someone, they are literally walking in the shoes of someone else. And that's what we're called to do. I think that is such a wonderful thing. So you will help patients, those moving through their treatment with things like paying rent. What other kinds of ways that you have your gift helped people?
I'm sorry. I'm driving, and I missed the last
question. No, that's fine. So some of the requests have come for rent and what other kinds of things? I guess utility bills, what other kinds of things?
Oh, yeah, utility bills. We pay rent. We're contacted to pay hotel accommodation when a person goes, let's say, to MD Anderson in Houston for treatment. They may need to stay at a hotel. I've had one lady who thanked me so much because she was so sick after her treatment, and to be able to go to a location right next to the hospital without having to drive all the way home, you know, she felt so much better. I've had one lady, and this is my favorite, and I hope I'm not saying anything wrong, but I bought one of her nipples. You know, she needed a prosthetic nipple. And she and I just loved it because I'm going to always be a part of her life, you know, so I love that. I've bought equipment, I've bought medicine, we've helped children, you know, just whatever the need is. We try not to tell a person that we're unable to assist, you know, with whatever their request is. Now, granted, we cannot help by far the number of requests that we receive, but whenever we speak with someone, you know, we try to give what they need and not put them in a box and say, well, this is what we give, but we try to help them with what the need is. In fact, I guess about 6 weeks ago, I heard my phone ping, and I realized that it was somebody, you know, sending in an email stating that they needed help. And this email touched my heart so much because, again, I get so very many of them. But this was a young girl, and she said, I think she's in South Carolina. She said, my family doesn't know that I'm contacting you, but they're struggling to pay their bills, and it's because of my sickness. I'm almost crying thinking about it. And she said, can you please help me? So I immediately called the young, and I don't even know, you know, she had fallen asleep, or I called her house and her mom answered. And I didn't really want to tell her mom because, you know, I think she may have been calling me in confidence. So when her mom answered, you know, I asked her, you know, what her daughter's name, you know, whatever had been given to me. And she said, yes, she just dozed off to sleep. So I told the mom, she had reached out to me, and I told them that I would be assisting them with, you know, buying gas cards so that they could go back and forth to treatment.
You know, thank you for sharing that story, because I want the audience to know there, for many people, the suggestion is that you go in, and for many women who have mastectomies or lumpectomies or any kind of hospital procedure for breast cancer that involves surgery, frequently you leave the hospital the day of the surgery. And the presumption is that you are ready to get back to work. Now, absolutely, many people, thankfully, are able to get back to work pretty quickly. But the majority of the women that I know, including myself in this, that was part of my story, it was a two-month journey before I was able to return. For many, it's much longer than that. And many people don't have leave, and some women are not working. Typical jobs that leave would even be involved, so the ways they're earning money, or often it's costing them childcare when they were taking care of their children. So not only will they not have money coming in, many are having to pay additional money. We forget about the single parents that are out there, the single women that are there, and they're so supporters of their families. The issues go on, and there are additional expenses, as you're saying, for transportation, for the copay for prescriptions. When people aren't working, their light bills, rent, mortgages. Yep. I know people who've lost their homes. It is a challenge. And one of the things that we don't ask for, and I say we, it's a part of that story, is for financial assistance. And there are very few places that offer that kind of support.
That's correct.
And it's devastating. It's devastating. And we need to be, you know, more sensitive. Frequently, I'm sure you've heard this happen where people say, I just don't know what to do for him or her who has cancer. And, you know, prayer is a blessed thing to offer. But offering meals and offering travel money, money when you're traveling, you know, to the doctor just for that extra meal for yourself even, are wonderful gifts that we can give people who are in the recovery process from breast cancer. Do you have any other stories that are similar to that you might share?
Oh, I have so many stories. I have so very many stories. I was actually thinking of one while you were talking. I was contacted, I guess, about a year ago around graduation time, and it was a lady who had, I want to say maybe 4 children, and one of her daughters was a senior in high school, and she worked at Burger King, and she was the only one in the house working. So the mom contacted me for assistance. They needed help with paying their rent and with paying a light bill. So I went ahead and assisted with you know, the two bills that they were asking for. But I felt so bad for that family because the young girl, while she should have been preparing for prom and graduation, she was taking her money and helping her mom to get through. So that was a story that sticks out. There are so very many stories that, you know, I hear and touch my heart. And in spite of all of the stories that I hear, I never grow cold to any of them. You know, I sometimes feel like it's a curse sometimes because I'm like, I feel for people literally in my body. I take it on, which my husband tells me all the time, you can't carry everybody's problems.
Mm-hmm,
so when
mm-hmm,
I hear
mm-hmm.
the stories, you know, I feel so like, you know, I owe them. You know, I've got to do this. So it's a lot. I still love what I do. I don't want to, you know, sometimes I feel like giving up. I won't tell you that I don't. Sometimes I feel like giving up because the need is great, and sometimes we run out of money, and sometimes it's a, you know, a lot of, it's always a lot of work. But, you know, I just have to keep going, and so many people tell me, if you only help one person, that's one more than
that's
most
good.
People help. Because my goal, what I have in mind, I would love to help at least one person per day. And what we try to do is give each person $100 with a maximum of $500. We've never gotten to give anybody $500, but if I can give, or the organization can give, one person per day $100, I would feel like I've accomplished something. But I'm sure after I get there, then I'll want to give more. So I don't know. But
if someone wants to give something to Walk in My Shoes Foundation, how would they reach you? How will they send this contribution to you? I know your website is www.walkinmyshoesfoundation.com, and that's on the Rev. Uda Malikia Blog Talk Radio site. But the website is walkinmyshoesfoundation, all one word, .com. But how can they send money or a contribution to you, to your foundation?
Well, they can, as you stated, they can go directly online to the website. There is a tab to donate, or you can mail it to the P.O. Box. P.O. Box is also on the website, but the P.O. Box is P.O. Box 11051, New Iberia. That's N-E-W, one word, and then I-B-E-R-I-A, Louisiana, 70560. So either way, through the mail or online, we accept donations. And oftentimes people ask, how do I go about sending shoes? You can send the shoes through the mail to the P.O. Box as well.
Okay.
The
so
only thing about the
shoes
is that, well, we do accept shoes. It's just that, you know, sometimes some people, you know, they just want to get rid of shoes and they try to dump them on us. But I try to tell them, you know, only give what you'd want to buy because we're trying to sell these, you know. So if they're new or gently worn, I mean, I go sometimes to, you know, the department stores if they have a sale, knowing that I don't need three pair of shoes, but you buy three and you don't wear the other two, you know. So they get old and you say, oh, I don't like these anymore, you know, and they're in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else could use those. And here in Louisiana, I have a little shoe store that we sell the shoes out of.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, tell people what you're doing for Christmas to raise money.
For Christmas?
The Christmas tree.
Oh, I'm actually doing it now. It's at my husband's job. But yeah, it's during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We decorated a Christmas tree with breast cancer ornaments. And we are asking the customers and the employees to purchase the balls off of the tree as a fundraiser for the organization during the month of October. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And the other thing that we're doing during this month is every October we do what we call the extravaganza, where we recognize those who survived cancer in 2015, and we remember those who passed away. And we make it fun, but we also try to, you know, raise money as well. We do a shoe fashion show. We do We sell T-shirts and any little crafty things that I've made. Not long ago, I started decorating shoes with different occupations in mind. Like I made a nurse's shoe and a doctor's shoe with a stethoscope, or teacher's shoes with pencils, and, you know, just really creative. So we're going to be selling all those things that I've made throughout the year at the event. And it's going to be on October 24th at here in New Iberia. So I'm looking forward
Wonderful.
To that.
Wonderful. So I would love to, for those, most of us have people we know around the country, and for the listeners from the Louisiana area, I'm encouraging you to support this fundraising effort. And please keep Helen's name in mind. If you need an idea, I think you need to contact this creative woman of God who has more ideas than she can shake a stick at. And who knows, she might be able to inspire you to do something. And, you know, if you are passionate about starting a similar foundation, I'm sure she would take a moment and talk with you. Please know that, and be encouraged as you're listening to Helen, to know that you just have to start with a passion, with an idea, with a hope, with a dream. When your pastor or encouraging support person says something to you, take that idea and run with it. Helen has been honored by Omega Psi Phi. She's been honored as a Citizen of the Year, as a real action hero in Manhattan, I think it's Manhattan, Indiana. And just been honored by Mary J. Blige Honors Benefit Concert, you know, and it's not just because you're doing, you feel good feelings. It's because this is a woman who takes her passion and turns it into action. And Helen, I just, I think that that's such a powerful message during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, is to take your passion and to turn it into action. Any other, because I know you've got Bible study that you have to go to. And,
yes, I'm getting outside right now.
Yeah, so I'm going to have you come back. And listeners are sending in some questions, so I'll share those with you later, Helen, so that you can address some of them. You know, because one of the questions one of the listeners just sent me is, how can they get money for plane fares to travel for treatment? Are there any resources that you know of for getting plane? That's tough for some people, because sometimes the plane fare is several hundred dollars.
Right.
To travel. Do you have any ideas about that? And I have another listener who has a question for you.
The organization has not to date paid for anyone to travel by plane. You know, what we've been doing is providing gas cards. I mail the gas cards to the patients, and, you know, the patients commute via car. However, you know, the day when we're able to provide at least $500 per person, I truly would not see a problem with being able to purchase, you know, round-trip fare for someone if it was less than $500. But we haven't gotten to that point as of yet. I'm not saying that we won't get there. But as of now, you know, it's pretty difficult, you know, with the limited funding to pay for someone's we've been able to provide $100 per person so far. And whenever we have, you know, just a couple dollars more, you know, we're able to sometimes pay $200, but we really haven't gotten to the maximum. And I look forward to that day when we are able to provide, you know, the $500 to each person.
That's fantastic. So, listen, I hope that helps you with your question. And I'm going to go to one of our callers right now before you go, Helen. Good evening, caller from 714. Do you have a question or a comment for our guest? 714, are you there? I think.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
No problem. Good evening, caller.
I didn't mean to recognize what 714 was, but I just want to thank you so much for bringing Sister Helen on as a guest. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful way to celebrate Breast Cancer Awareness Month, because it is letting people know about this great organization that she has helped to start, and also giving a lot of ideas for fundraising for other worthy causes. And I'd like you to pass on to her my wish and my prayer that she is able to meet and even surpass her goals, because, as she said, this is a mission that she was given by our Lord. And
amen.
You know, we know that there is no way that she is not going to be successful, because
amen.
This is ordained by God. And I thank you again, Reverend Alethea, for bringing this woman on, because she really inspired me, and she made me very happy to hear of her unceasing work for this cause. I also want to say that this year, Breast Cancer Awareness Month is being celebrated by more people than I've ever seen. I even saw some young men wearing Bobby socks in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Some young athletes.
Here, here.
Ballou
Wonderful.
High School. So, you know, you're just seeing it all over. And I just pray that this awareness and support continues. Anyway, thank
Amen.
You. And good.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Keep listening. We have someone, another guest on after Helen leaves us this evening. But, Helen, you have any comments for our guest, our caller who has shared comments of gratitude for you?
No, I just thank her very much for those words of encouragement. It really makes me feel good to know that, you know, what God has given to me is blessing others. And just to hear her comment really, you know, it was well worth my time. If I can help one person, I guess it's all worth it.
Absolutely. And we're going to keep you in prayer, and I'm going to let you go now. I think I see a number of
Thank
someone
you.
Who called in right now. But please keep listening and listen to the rest of the show, because we're going to have some more comments about sharing some more information related to what
Thank
you're
you.
Saying tonight. And I thank you so much, all the way from Louisiana. And we're all right now, we're going to just say thanks to Helen for being with us this evening. And know that she is going now to her Bible study, and we're just thankful. Caller, I want to say good evening to you. 443-417
Hello.
Is.
Yes, this is Samira.
Wonderful. I hope you were listening to some of the conversation.
I was not.
Not. Oh, you missed it. Well, you'll have to listen to more. But I want you to share. And then I have someone on the line, Okra. Stewart and Mia Stewart, and so I want to hear from them. But it was a powerful conversation about Walk in My Shoes Foundation and how she is reaching out to help meet some of the financial needs. And she shares some of the financial struggles that many women who have had breast cancer, some of the realities of the financial
mm-hmm.
struggle. Just wait, and we're going to have you come back on, Sadira, but you keep it real. Just share some of the things that people don't have a clue about.
Oh, wow.
Financial challenges that many, many of
yeah.
us face going
through. Sure, sure.
And unfortunately, there's a sense of shame that's attached to it.
It really is. You know, for me, it was time in my life. My diagnosis came when I was 41, and you know, I had pretty much, you know, I was established in my career, and everything, you know, was stable and kind of going up and to the right, so they say, right? And the diagnosis came, and literally within, you know, I would say within a week, if it even took me that long, emotionally, I had shut down. I was a deer in the headlights. You know, when you're told you've got stage 3 breast cancer and it's on the move in your lymph nodes, working was not even a possibility. I was not present for anything. I was physically, you know, people were taking me to doctor's appointments every day, and you know how that is, a battery of appointments every single day, and they're trying to come up with a treatment plan very quickly, and so working wasn't an option. And for me, within 6 months, I had pretty much run through all of my savings, if it even took me 6 months. And I was one who had saved for years. My house was in foreclosure the entire time, for probably 24 months. And I got to the point where I had to tell Bank of America, listen, I got one fight I can wage here, and it's not going to be to save a house. So if you want me to move, I'll move. You tell me what you want me to do. I will move. I've got somewhere else to go, but I'm not going to sit here and fight you for this house, and I'm not going to repeatedly tell my story. You guys ask me every time. I'm assuming you take notes. If you don't, just know next time you call, I'm not repeating this. It's hard enough to have to live through it. And, you know, people don't know that this is the kind of thing that, in addition to going and taking chemo and whatever else your treatment might be, just to have to tell that story over and over and over to get financial assistance. And I went on assistance. You know, I had to get assistance for food. And, you know, it was in little things like, you know, deciding whether or not I'm going to wear a wig, and I go to the American Red Cross, and they tell me in Baltimore they don't have wigs for African-American women. They'd have to order it from Philly. They don't have, you know, it's just little things like that over and over through this entire process that was just, you know, you're fighting for your house. You're, you know, because I you know, I wasn't married. And so thank goodness I had an army of support around me to make sure that, you know, food stayed in the house. And but it was just things like that I hadn't thought about since I was probably in my 20s. For me, the slate was wiped absolutely. Cancer came in and just leveled everything. And you know, I'm on the other side of the harsher treatments now. And what I came out with was a house and a car and my life. Thank you, God. But everything else, everything, bank account, everything was demolished, to say the least.
Thank you, because none of that in all the books, the pamphlets that we're given after diagnosis, there's a couple of things they don't talk about. They don't talk about sexuality, and they don't talk about finances. Those are the two no-nos.
Right. And all of a sudden, you're supposed to just bounce back, right, after your whole, it took me 25 years to financially create what was created, and in 6 months, it was gone.
And
you know, the bill collectors come back, and they're like, where's our money? And you're like, I'm sorry, I haven't worked. I was fighting for my life.
And in fact, I've said that to creditors who've called, and they say, oh, sorry, you have cancer, and they go right on.
They sure
continue to ask. There's not even a pause. And so we need to say, so just you putting more meat on the bones of the despair that many of us face, and no one's listening to the challenge. And so we're not getting the relief from talking about it. We're not educating other women and some men who have cancer about the things they will face so that they don't feel so isolated and alone. And it's important for us to have you can't decide to have hope about which you're already in denial. And so if we're not in denial and we take the break the silence around this, we can inspire hope. And there are wonderful people like Helen who will step up and say, I've got to do something. I've got to help out in the ways that I can. And she's been creative and determined. But she faced the fact that people can't pay their rent. They don't have gas. They don't have food money. And it's not they weren't working. And it's not because they were indigent or any of these other ways we might want to label them. So I'm going to keep this conversation going, but I want to get someone else in. You mentioned the Thermaline. You mentioned not having people address the hair needs. So I have someone on the line. Mia, are you there? Mia? I'm hoping.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome to the Rev Up with Rev. Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and congratulations to you. We're going to offer a few claps for you. And starting your new business, and I can imagine that we're talking about business and cancer prevention and awareness on the same show, but Mia's business is called Haute Hair, and designer hair. And she's in a business that deals with hair that black women would use. Right, Mia?
Yes, we actually deal with all different hair textures. So we have hair that would match with any sort of hair that any woman would have. So we have from the silky straight to the Afro kinky to the natural relaxed. We have everything.
Fantastic.
Wow.
New business. In fact, the grand opening is this Thursday. So, Mia, you want to, at the website, I have the information on the blog site for those who are at the blog site. It's Haute Hair Online. That's Haute. Hair Online, all one word, haughthaironline.com. So you can go to the website. But tell them where the actual shop is. Give the address, Mia.
Yes, the shop is located in downtown Washington, D.C. The address is 820 H Street, H as in Harry, Northeast. And we're not too far from Union Station. So we're right in the midst of the H Street revitalization. So there's a lot going on in our area, and we're very excited that we're opening this week.
Tell me, do you have any experience in dealing with women who are have had breast cancer treatment or have lost their hair through chemo or radiation or what's your personal experience with working with women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer?
Yes, well, right now we are blessed to have received a contract from the VA or Veterans Administration where we provide, and they call it a custom cranial prosthesis, and that's just a fancy word for a custom wig. And so these wigs are provided to veterans at no cost, but they have to be dealing with hair loss. So we come across women dealing with hair loss from many, many different reasons. And, of course, one of the major contributing factors is that they're suffering from cancer. So a lot of the women who are referred to us are their hair or are completely bald. And so what we do, and a lot of the clients that I meet with do actually bring me to tears sometimes, because they're going through such a stressful situation. And so what I try to do and what my company tries to do is to give them just a day, kind of a day off or a couple hours off of dealing with what they're going through. And we, you know, it's fun for them to, you know, for women to go through all the different hair textures. You know, they can pick out whatever they want, whether it matches what they had or if they want something different, if they want a new
look.
Look
wig.
Yes. So, you know, it's a time where they can, you know, kind of get away from the stress that they're going through every day and pick out something that helps them to feel beautiful. And what more that we do is that it's completely custom. So, you know, women are not getting a stock unit from, you know, the beauty supply that doesn't really fit or that looks wiggy. These units are made to look like their hair, and they're made from all different types of fabrics. We have probably about 30 different custom or medical-grade caps that they can choose from, you know, the kind that actually grip the head or, you know, something a little softer like a silk or a lace, but they're able to choose exactly what they want, the style that they want, the color, and it just really kind of touches my heart because, you know, a lot of times they say, I really enjoy, you know, your company, not just the service that we provide, but just the company and dealing with something mm-hmm. different for that hour or two.
Well, I know Mia personally, and so I want to let the audience know she is a very compassionate, concerned person, and there's something about your spirit that just cheers my heart, Mia. So I can tell you that you, yes, that's you. And when you walk in, thank you, Sabir, for mentioning the hair mm-hmm. piece because, you know, there's so many issues going on at that time. For me, I'm not the person who would have wanted a wig at any other point in my life, but actually after breast cancer, oddly enough, that was a comfort thing that I reached out for, but it wasn't there for me.
Exactly. And it was a devastating experience to walk in and see all of these wigs and be told, we have nothing for you. And you're in Baltimore. How is that possible? And you're the American Red Cross?
Wow.
It was devastating to me.
Yeah. And we don't get to say how I mean, and it's so funny that you're saying it, because hair would not have been the thing that I would have had on my list at any other point in my life that I could think about.
Mm-mm.
But for many women after breast cancer, it symbolized that female component for me that I wanted at that moment. And Mia, I'm telling you, what Sabir was talking about happened to me. There was nothing there for me.
That's one of the reasons why, you know, we're able to help so many because, you know, I do have the textures that will reach African-American women, any texture that they want. And so I get a lot of feedback from them and from, you know, just the associations or organizations that we deal with that, like you said, you know, they go to other places, even wig shops, and they can't find something that fits
mm-mm.
them.
No. And you don't have the energy. I'm going to tell you, for many of us, so I'm going to talk about myself. I didn't have the energy to go to 15,000 different places or something.
Right.
I didn't have the physical energy or the emotional energy. So
mm-hmm.
I want to say to women, you can come to a place where you're going to get the support and the comfort and the actual service you're looking for, because you don't realize when you walk in, there are probably two things you need. When you need a prosthesis, you want someone who's going to be kind and thoughtful, and you want hair, you want someone who's going to be kind and thoughtful. Those are two biggies for after breast cancer. Those are the places that you look for some support. And I'm going to put you on the spot. I guess you would, if the listeners mention Rev Up with Rev Malik, you'll give them a good little discount.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. We can do a 10% discount for all anyone who mentions Rev Up. But one other thing I want to say real quick is that I understand what it's like to be going through hair loss, and I know a lot of women, like you said, it's devastating, and they don't really want to leave their home. They don't want to go to a salon. They don't want to, you know, be in a place with women who have hair and then, you know, to feel like you're less of or you're lacking. So what I also do is go in-home. So the consultation can
Ooh.
Be done, yes, in the client's home. And to be perfectly honest, I would say 95% of my clients, we actually meet in their home. So, you know, you're in the comfort of your home. You don't have to go out. We bring everything to you, and it's done right there.
Well, that sounds
wow,
like
that's beautiful.
Does that work?
Wow.
Yeah.
That works. So I'm going to thank you, Mia, for coming on. And so how can people reach you?
They can either go online, they can come to the store, or they can, you know, give me a call. And my direct number, I can give it out now, is 202-341-9536. Or they can reach me at 202-957-1331.
Fantastic.
So I just can come directly to me.
Fantastic. I want to let you know we're going to have you come back in and talk about this is a part of our story as women. It's a part of the story of all women, but certainly African-American women, where sometimes our needs are not met in the way that we need them to be met. So, Mia, thank you for being with us tonight. We're definitely going to have you come back on.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Haute hair. And we're talking about designer hair. So is that a surprise to me to talk about designer hair on the Rev Up Show?
we want to
keep it real. And there are particularly, trustworthy business people, entrepreneurs, and caring people, and that's what we really need in our communities, people who will go the extra mile and meet women literally where they are. Hair, finances, we're going to have to also talk about sexuality with respect to breast cancer, one of those taboo topics around breast cancer. But finances, any advice you want to offer our listeners tonight, Sabir, with respect to finance? And like in a couple of minutes, it's a whole long conversation for you. But any, I know, that's a good, we can talk about that.
I think we really ought to because I did some things 10 years before I knew I had breast cancer that literally is what ended up saving me. And one of those things was I had a regular habit of saving, of paying myself
Amen.
First. And I did that from my 20s. So when it came time, when this came, I at least had something. But that would be the one thing I would leave. And yes, Alethea, let's talk about this in further detail later in the month if you have the time.
Absolutely.
It is important.
We're going to make the time. So saving is a watchword for all of us. And knowing that if we don't face cancer, we will face a challenge in some way. And if we don't personally face a challenge, we can be a helping hand to someone because we're in a financial position to offer some support to someone. And that's equally as important when we're talking about being healthy. Well, my watchwords to bear are being healthy, helpful, good, and of God. And saving, we often don't think about as being a healthy thing, a helpful thing, a good thing, and certainly not a divine thing. And for me, it's all four. And so we're going to have to come and do a little teaching and preaching around the taboo subject of money. And,
let's do that.
And know that that's we've got to become free. And part of freedom is being able to conquer those things that we are terrified of and that have had control over us. So you're my dear sister. We're going to have I'm going to look forward possibly next week because I have another person I'd like to have come on, do a little bit more conversation around breast cancer. I love the fact that we talked to Helen she's got the last name. I'm not sure about the pronunciation of the last name again. But from Louisiana, Fousier, Helen Fousier. And the beautiful thing about talking to someone from Louisiana, so I find it again, that it is not just in Washington, D.C., in Baltimore, in Ohio. It is everywhere in this country that we're talking about thousands of women being diagnosed with cancer every year. And we need mm-hmm. to do something about that, and part of it means we have to become awakened and knowledgeable. And you want to hear from an awakened, knowledgeable woman, please listen when I'm talking to Sabira Folami, who, if she doesn't know it all, she certainly will encourage you to learn with her. And she's a pursuer of knowledge. And Sabira, thank you for going out of your way to join me this evening, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, I'll be here. Thanks for having me again.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening tonight. I do want to ask you, and hold on for a minute as I talk a little bit about turkey for Thanksgiving. The Pavilion of God is raising money with two other churches to feed over 250 families with turkey and all other trimmings, greens, potatoes, green beans, rice, macaroni and cheese, and the list goes on and on. And all you have to do is go to GoFundMe, More Than Turkey. GoFundMe, More Than Turkey. Just put those words in on Google. You'll find the spot. Check out the Pavilion of God on Facebook, or Alicia Smith Withers on Facebook, and you'll find, give $5. It will be a part of feeding a family of five. What a powerful thing. www.gofundme.com/TF4QBGTC. But simply put in GoFundMe More Than Turkey. You'll find it. Breast cancer, beloved, breast cancer seems to bring darkness into our thoughts, a darkness of pain, darkness attached to confusion, anger, despair, shame, and finances. You know, we feel like we're in those dark places, married women, single women, women who are single parents. All women face those places of fear, concern, and sometimes terror when it comes to finances. The darkest hour comes before the dawn. Let's remember that. The Word of God says, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We need to remember that pain pushes until vision pulls. Pain pushes until vision pulls. Vision pulls Helen into the light. Vision pulls Sabira into the light. Vision pulls Mia into the light. We have to know that vision pulls and empowers us to change our life and to change the lives of those around us. Thank you for the encouragement, Helen. Thank you for the encouragement, Mia. Thank you for the encouragement, Sabira. And for all the women and men who are listening, be encouraged and be reminded that pain pushes until vision pulls. I invite you to follow the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God on Sundays at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest at 12:30. You got time to have a nice, cool, leisurely breakfast and then join us at 12:30. Our vision is a world where Goliaths do not prevail. The Goliath of breast cancer, the Goliath of poverty, no Goliath prevails. join us. We have a prayer line on Wednesdays at 6 a.m. and 12 noon. That number is 605-475-4333. Remember to tweet me at Revelacia. Follow me on Instagram and email me at revelacia@gmail.com. Join us next week as we rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. Join us next week as we rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking.